is the DayZero update for January 15th, 2017. I'm Philippe Codinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm back, bitches.
Yeah. He's also Lee Lamb, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, this week has been interesting. The news cycle has been dominated pretty much by the Nintendo Switch announcement that happened on Thursday and Friday. Yeah, but there are a few other stories. Yeah. So we will be talking about that. Normally we talk about what we've been playing, but quite frankly, with all the stuff that we've got to talk about in the show, we'll just skip past that and get straight to the news. So let's start off with some sad news. Microsoft has canceled Platinum Games' Scalebound.
Yeah, I brought it up on the last show, and I think I killed it.
Yeah, you know, this is the second big title that Microsoft has canceled.
I think it's kind of telling about which team within Platinum was working on it.
Well, there could be that, because, yeah. But the other title that they canceled was Fable Legends, which is another fantasy RPG setting, which, you know...
That's the one that actually, more so than Scalebound, surprises me, because Fable was a stable for staple for Microsoft, and so to cancel that, you know, so well really the same with Scalebound, so far into the production of the game is kind of crazy. But Scalebound surprised me, but it didn't surprise me as much as Fable did. Mm-hmm. But even then, you know, you have to wonder, I think, to the point that was made just a minute ago, is what Platinum team was working on it. Because while Platinum is a good developer, you could definitely tell that different teams work on different things, because some games come out great and some come out as complete ass.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like that Turtles game.
Exactly. The Turtles game was awful.
Yeah.
But the Transformers Devastation game was great.
Yeah.
So...
It sort of shows that Microsoft is losing credibility with Japanese developers at this point.
Yeah.
After the way they handled D4 with Swery's game, and this sort of showing that any Japanese developers wanting to partner with a platform holder should talk to Nintendo or Sony.
Yep. Yeah, because it seems like Microsoft is, not a good steward.
Nope.
Especially with some of the little leaks that have been coming off of this, sort of showing that they might have done the same thing that they did to Phantom Dust, which is sort of unrealistic milestones and expectations that basically put it all on the developer to perform miracles.
Yeah.
Pretty
well, I don't want to play devil's advocate on this thing, but at the same time, like, I don't know that anybody buys a Microsoft system for Japanese games. So while I do think that I do think you guys have a point, at the same time, like, I would not buy a Microsoft console and immediately go, time to get, you know, Panty Designer 23 or some super long JRPG or anything else like that. That's not what I expect when I get a Microsoft console. So, like, I do think there's something to that point, like, you know, what kind of good faith are they showing Japanese developers? But then at the same time, if you want to play Japanese games, you really are going to go to Sony or to Nintendo. So I wonder if some of these decisions are also Microsoft going, is this worth the money that we're putting into it?
Yeah,
I think it sort of
will
comes
we get a return on investment?
Yeah,
I think it comes after last gen when they were courting those guys so hard. Then now you have some of those people that are just Xbox fans sticking with Xbox, wanting more of that, and they're not backing it up on their own end. So you see all the Tails games that used to also be on Xbox are now just PlayStation, and you get all these others. JRPGs are basically all coming out on PS4 and or Vita at this point, some on Nintendo as well.
Yeah.
In a way, that almost has me questioning why I own an Xbox One.
Yeah, well, it's...
You get Lost Odyssey for free.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And Forza.
That's about it.
Because Forza.
Yeah.
But me, personally, I'm kind of the opinion that Microsoft may be just getting ready to get out of the Japanese market.
Yeah.
It really
They've Xbox sold like what, like two, three, maybe four to the same person.
I don't think it's going that bad, but it's like,
like that guy got an Xbox and then he got an Xbox One S, like the same dude. And then another color came out and he got that one too.
Yeah,
I don't. I honestly don't think it's that bad. Anytime a major Japanese game does show up on Xbox and you play on Xbox Live, you will see Japanese players on there. So
yeah,
so it's not quite quite that situation, but it is bad.
Yeah, it's like, I'll give you an example. I mean, the Xbox One gets outsold by the PS3.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's cultural.
Yeah. So,
well, not even that. I mean, at this point too, the PlayStation 4 has abysmal numbers in Japan as well. So
yeah,
the market in general over there has definitely shifted, but and it's certainly not going to shift in Microsoft's favor.
No.
No.
Nope.
No.
So, I mean, if they can continue to get Japanese developers like Capcom and whatnot, Square Enix, to at least care about the Xbox because it's successful in the West, then they'll probably still get developers, you know, on board. But it's a weird situation where a Japanese developer wouldn't have anybody in Japan buying their game on that platform anyway. They would have to be multi-plat.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're...
Forget exclusives.
Yeah, they're not going to do exclusives. I think that's probably why Scalebound got canceled.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And looking here at the latest weekly sales for Japan, PS4 was top with 78,000.
Yep.
New 3DS XL was 54, number two. Way at the bottom, Xbox One, 180.
Yeah, not 1,000, 180.
180. Mm-hmm. PS3 is 1156.
Yeah.
So. Wii U 3147.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not great for the Xbox One over there. So
it's pretty much expatriates, probably, for the most part.
Most likely.
Like 75 to 80% of them selling Roppongi.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to get to play Scalebound, which is unfortunate because it actually looked kind of cool. But yeah, we're probably
I'd be curious to know if they retain the rights to that game. Maybe they could shop it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, the question is then, if they were going to do something with it, why cancel it? Why not just delay it? You know, I think they're just scuttling it. So they don't see any future for that property.
So, maybe.
Yeah. We'll never know.
Well, and I think we're also in a weird place too. I mean, I think a lot of people, publishers rather, are pretty scared of some of these projects that cost a ton of money and then they're not really sure if they're going to get any sort of return on investment. Like, I know one of the things you guys have talked about, because I've listened to the show, even though I haven't been on it, was ReCore. And, you know, that game was $10 during Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, you know, a really big, not a big game, but this is a new IP and Double everything A. else like that. Mm. And so I have to wonder too, when you look at things like, you know, sort of the failure of that in a certain extent, you know, if that also just doesn't have Microsoft going, you know, we're going to stick with the Halos and the Gears of Wars and all that other crap. Mm-hmm. And I can't, it's difficult to blame them for that. But then at the same time, you know, you look at what Sony's output is, at least they're trying something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they get jaded, then we get jaded, and it's just not a good situation.
Yeah.
Nope.
And this is especially concerning given that, you know, they're supposed to be launching a new system by the end of this year.
Yeah.
What are we going to be playing on that system? Sure, we're going to have a Halo. We already know this.
Mm-hmm. Forza 7.
Yeah, and there'll be a Forza. And yeah, that's starting to look like platform stagnation to me.
I feel like they're going to try and blow it out in E3 with a lot of stuff that's like, play it on your Xbox One, but optimized for Scorpio.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Like, I think that's one of the reasons they gave themselves such a long amount of time from when they announced it. to when it's actually going to debut. I think because they want to give those developers, whether they're internal or third party, enough time to go back and go, hey, you know, this is this new set of hardware you have to play with. Do something really cool with it.
Yeah.
That, and it lets them get the production cost down a little bit, not having mm-hmm. to try and push all that hardware out right away when it's at its highest.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a great record on new IPs this gen for Microsoft.
No.
None of them have panned out into sequels.
I still want my six flop bone.
mm-hmm. Holiday 2017.
Holiday 2017, give me your flop bone.
Floppy bone. Okay, so moving on from that, we got another closure. It looks like Sony is closing down Guerrilla Games in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cambridge branch in the UK. That seems like, I don't know, maybe they didn't have another pitch that was successful, and the idea of just keeping them around to update rigs for the foreseeable future is not ideal, but they also say they're doing some reworking of their European studios and trying to move as many of those people over to the other teams that they can.
Yeah, which is something that Sony has been doing constantly.
Yeah.
So
it's more than you can say for a lot of these closures, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sony had a lot of teams around Europe. They're trying to consolidate where they can.
Yeah. Now, if Sony really wants to, you know, get some European goodwill back, they really need to bring back the Psygnosis name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had so many studios that they swallowed up that came out of Psygnosis. And yeah.
Mm.
It's
yeah, just, they got the Wipeout collection coming, so that's a start.
Yeah. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. It's kind of sad to see these people lose their jobs temporarily, at any rate. But
hopefully they land on their feet.
Yeah. Sucks balls.
You know, I just want to say with something like that, just because obviously I haven't been on this show in a while. So just to tie into what you guys are talking about. So I've done like a major pivot where I'm doing like everything on my PC right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly become out of the fact that my wife, you know, a couple months back we had like an electrical outage that blew out my TV.
Yeah.
And my surge protector had like $100,000 insurance policy on it.
Okay.
So I went out and I bought a 65-inch 4K Samsung TV.
Hmm.
I'm getting a wreck just thinking about it. And I could turn around and look at it, but then I wouldn't be able to pay attention to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beautiful. I love it. And I love the way everything looks. It's HDR. So like Forza Horizon 3 is stunning, you know, when you're looking at it. And so it's been... So I got on that whole train, like, okay, well, like, I'm not going to buy a PS Pro. Like, I'm not interested in that. And I'm not – because I'm not really interested in like, the mid-gen console of, like, well, give me something new, especially when I have a PC, right?
Right.
So, well, my wife, who I guess wasn't that fond of my previous TV, really likes this one because she watches things on it. And she's like, I had no idea how good 65 inches would look.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called her a size queen, and she smacked me. So she's on the TV a lot. And then my son is on the TV a lot because my son mainly plays the Xbox, plays Minecraft. He still is messing with Project Spark, which I feel like that was a huge missed opportunity for Microsoft. But anyway, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. So I have been kind of relegated in a sense to my PC. So I've really been looking at Steam, and you know, I've had friends that have been like, you should get on this train, you should do that, blah, blah, blah. So long story short, I've been playing a lot more on my PC because of how many console games are on the PC and how many run better. Hmm. And I'm really seriously thinking at like the console stuff in general of like the model. Like, we're talking about these studio closures and these game cancellations and everything else like that. And just looking at the – and I'm sure you guys will laugh at me like, oh, duh, stupid. But, like, looking at the breadth of content on the PC, particularly when it comes to indies, particularly for that glut that we've always talked about where kind of like the middle of the industry fell out, there are so many small studios doing well in this space that I have to wonder – for some of these bigger studios that have focused on AAA gaming and then therefore are losing their jobs. Like, this seems to be the kind of down switch that a lot of them need to do, because I don't like hearing anybody losing their job. But if your main project takes 4 years to produce and it's not going to keep anybody employed after it's been put out on the market unless it sells a hojillion copies, like, maybe this is the better route to go. If you have an 80-person team, maybe you can split them in two and have them working on two games at the same time. So at least if one of them is successful, not everybody loses their job.
Yeah.
Games that only have maybe a 12 to 18-month cycle.
Yeah, and not just that. These games don't have to be 40-hour odysseys, you know, that are filled with bloat and feature creep and everything else like that. Like, anyone will tell you that has been playing games since the 2600 is that if the core gameplay concept is sound, it'll work. And you can sell that to someone. You know, when we start talking about the price and everything else like that, which we'll get into, I'm sure, when we talk about the Switch. But, you know, I've always had a PC. I've always had a really kind of beefy PC, but I always stayed with the consoles because it was more comfortable to be on my couch and to have a controller. Well, now everything has controller support for the most part. Everything looks better. Everything plays better. You can mod shit. Like, and then take in the indie games. Like, I've been playing Enter the Gungeon. I just got a whole bunch of stuff just dabbling in it. And it's like, it made me feel like back when I had a Super Nintendo. And obviously that's not for everybody. But you look at these people like Yacht Club Games, which I know we're going to talk about them in an instant. Those guys are doing great. All because it was a small project and they just have continued to expand on it. And they've published some games for people as well because of their success. So I really have to wonder if at some point in the future, a lot of these groups they're going to have to face extinction and figure out if they need to go the route that some of these other people are doing.
Oh, there's going to be a correction.
Yeah, there has to be, because these other smaller studios are doing it better. They're making profits. Or even to take somebody that's been in the industry for a long time, like Atlus. Atlus isn't having any problems, but that's because Atlus also knows, if this is marketed towards a very specific group of people, and we need our numbers to be on target for that. So it really sucks to hear those guys lose their job. But like, when I think about like these closures and these games getting canceled and everything else like that, like maybe reduce the scope a bit. Because I always hear developers talk about like, this is what gamers want. And I don't think that's true anymore.
No.
Like, what we want, the gamers need some 4K texture that, you know, if you blew up 800 fucking times, you still wouldn't see any jet. No. No, there's a couple of people that might want that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you see Steam sort of not be full of dooms. And that sort of people and get a lot more that are just reasonably made.
Yeah.
Same as on PS4 and Xbox One. You see a lot that aren't pushing the hardware that much, so their budgets are more realistic and they're releasing on every platform they can to sort of spread out the risk, so that, you know, if maybe their Xbox One version or their PS4 version doesn't do as well, the others can prop it up and make it not that big of a deal.
Exactly. And so I'm sorry to go on a sort of a tangent, but I just really hope, you know, some of these just unfortunate people losing their jobs and kind of how twisted the industry is in the first place when it comes to overtime and everything else like that. Like, I hope that some of these guys and some of these studios can really take a step back and go, you know what, we can do smaller games and we can sell those for $30 or $40 or $20 and we can be okay.
Yeah.
Because this – I think last generation and really the majority of this generation has shown that if all you're doing is AAA, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the entire point of Ken Levine splitting off from 2K. It's like, yeah, I want to do stuff that's smaller. You know, I think there are many people in the industry who are starting to see that. And
It's a shame. I mean, I was playing Kingdoms of Amalur the other day, and it was just like, of course, there's a whole different story around that group. But I mean, those guys, their bonus structure wasn't set up for them to even make any extra money until they sold 3 million copies. Like, you're not going to do that as a new IP unless you're doing something insane that no one's ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you've got people with a lot of money at the top who think they can just rain money all day, every day, and then not have to worry about budgets. Until they have no money.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're trying to sign deals to get money to pay people for what they've been doing and just get that snowball running.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of Yacht Club, they've outlined some plans for Shovel Knight, including a name change, looks like.
Yeah, so basically, if you already own Shovel Knight on any of the platforms, you're good to go. Nothing's really changing for you. You're going to get all the updates and all the expansions as it as they've announced. But for everybody else, they're doing a little bit of a change-up of how they're offering the game. So this new version of the base game is called Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, which is the original game, all that stuff. And they're going to be offering the expansion campaigns as standalone standalone games, so that maybe if you already played Shovel Knight before, but just want the, or if you've heard cool things about the Plague Knight's campaign or the Spectre of Torment's campaign, you just want to play that, you can just buy that. They don't have prices for any of this stuff announced just yet, because it's all sort of in the air as they're just waiting to get this stuff finished and out there. But essentially, let me see. Yeah, the original Shovel Knight game is sort of called Shovel of Hope. Treasure Trove is sort of the platform for all of this stuff. There's the Plague of Shadows campaign that's going to get its own release. Spectre of Torment, which is coming out in the near future. Later on is King Knight's campaign. And they're also going to release Battle Mode, which is, I believe, a Wii U exclusive thing. It's a four-player multiplayer thing that's going to be getting released. 3DS Vita are not getting that because they're, I guess, not supporting the local multiplayer aspects of those platforms, which probably is not a big deal at this point.
Yeah.
I doubt you're gonna get four of those coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you already own Shovel Knight, nothing changes really. You might just see the name of your client change. Other than that, you get everything as planned. Along with that, the base game is getting a price raise. So that's what they're going to be doing in the spring. Yeah, I guess Treasure Trove is that collection of everything.
Yeah.
So that's going to be getting a price raise to account for all the extra content.
Right.
Because you're going to get three more campaigns, essentially, when you buy that, along with the original. But you're going to be able to get the other stuff as well if you just want that.
Yeah.
Instead of the whole thing.
Yeah, this seems more like a correction to me, because they've got multiple games worth of content just
Right. They've had posts before of like, we made this game, it took us this the Plague Knight campaign. I'm gonna see if I can try and find that post, but like, this took us, you know, 12 months to make, and we're getting no money for this.
Yeah,
that's the part where you go, ooh,
yeah,
this is all paid off by the stretch goals for the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So they're still working that stuff off, but yeah, it's sort of unfortunate that the game has been so successful that essentially I had to work on these big big additions that are not going to actually bring them any money back other than general game sales. So they're trying to make some changes to account for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should also probably mention that they're actually working on another game right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Something that is not Shovel Knight,
and will probably be coming out this year.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I was happy to hear that, because I love Shovel Knight. By the way, like Shovel Knight, like if Shovel Knight came out at the tail end of the 8-bit generation, like to me, Shantae and Shovel Knight are like the last great 8-bit games. Even though Shovel Knight obviously was not produced at that time, but it is definitely good to see them doing something else, because. Yeah, they did all the stretch goals, they did all that stuff, but it is kind of time for something new, I think. And those guys obviously know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found that they spent about $1 million making the Plague of Shadows campaign. We made $0 selling Plague of Shadows. Whoops. That's what they actually wrote here. Development started July 2014.
Yeah.
Released September 2015. So about 18 months.
Yeah. 18 months, $1 million, and no return on investment because, the investment was already made, but it's dead. The point is, that's a lot of work.
It's a testament to why you should probably wait to do a Kickstarter until the game is already well into development.
Yeah. So. But yeah, honestly, don't have any problems with this or, you know, any of the price raises or whatever. I think you should pay what the game is worth, and Shovel Knight has more than enough content to justify its price.
Yeah, it feels like we almost got over on them. So the fact that they're finally raising the, or they're going to do some a price correction doesn't feel like that's a bad thing.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, it seems like them just saying, whoops, we made a mistake. We'll honor our promises to everybody.
Yep.
And for those of you new people, you got choices.
And people who are already in, nothing changes for us.
Right. And to the point of just what we were talking about earlier, like this is a smart move to do to make sure that they still exist going forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
So.
Yeah, charge what you think it's worth.
Yeah. And don't listen to the idiots that say, oh, it's too expensive.
Oh, well, wait till we get into that, boys.
Yeah. So, So Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy VII Remake will probably not be coming out this year, but they will be shown this year.
Yay. Yeah, Nomura was doing an interview with Famitsu and saying they still have a ways to go on both games, but they will still be showing them at some point this year. So maybe E3 or TGS will see probably some updates on them.
Another Square Enix press conference with Kingdom Hearts 3. Yay.
You notice how just about anything Nomura touches anywhere beyond a visual direction role tends to fall into development hell?
Yeah.
So
I mean, just look at the amount of time we had between Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
We think that Kingdom Hearts, the time between Kingdom Hearts 2 and 3 is bad. No joke.
I'm just thinking which one of these is Hajime Tabata going to have to step in and rescue.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or both.
Just Nomura needs to stop taking on more than one project.
They're waiting on the chick that sang the song in both games. She probably just took a break, and you can't make a game without the song, guys. What was it Yutada Hikaru?
Yutada.
So that's she's the reason for the delay. I'm sure of it.
You think she's just being a diva?
Exactly. She's holding out for more money, that's the worst thing you can do against Square because they show that they don't give a shit about releasing a game for 10 years. So she fucked up.
So.
You picked the wrong company to have a stare down with.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on this one because, not a whole lot to say on this one at this point because it's just not coming out this year, likely. He didn't specifically say it's not coming out this year, but yeah, you can kind of read into that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3 is still seems like the last JRPG maybe coming to the Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah, in other news, Arc System Works is doing Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2.
Yep. Baikon is a part of this game, and it's not a troll this time.
Yep.
Nope.
So, actually joining the cast, I have a few concerns just because, just like Blaze Blue, these seem to be coming at a disturbing pace. I really don't want to see Guilty Gear get annualized, but that seems to be the direction that we're going, and I don't think it's a good one.
Yeah. So far, it's been, this will be the third one in as many years.
I mean, it still feels like Revelator just came out.
Yeah, well, it did. It came out last summer. So,
yeah.
This is, it seems to be Arc System Works MO, though, so.
It's sad because that's what's kept me away from Blaze Blue for so many years. You know, after I think I bought Continuum Shift 2, and I haven't bought one since. Speaking of a situation that needs a correction, hopefully they. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they adopted something more like the Street Fighter V model. As much as they like fine tuning their games and adding characters here and there, that would probably be the best fit for them. And the other new character, Answer, just looks ridiculous. Business ninja.
But that is,
yep.
you know.
Wait of... a minute. A business ninja?
He's a business ninja, yes.
Yep, business ninja.
I might buy this game.
Yeah, take a look. It's hilarious.
Like, is it like Dr. McNinja? Because that would be incredible.
But, and Baikon's redesign is badass, suitably.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, check that one out. It's coming this year. Also this year, well, just now, actually, Capcom has kicked off the 30th anniversary of Street Fighter with the reveal of Ultra Street Fighter 2 on the Switch, which we'll talk at length about over in a bit, but...
Yeah, this there was just a little more to this one to just cram it into the Switch segment,
I felt.
So, basically, it is a proper new revision of Street Fighter 2.
With new characters, by the way.
Evil Ryu and Violent Ken, they will get complaints as rehashes, but if you get under the hood a little bit, they bring mechanics to the table that do add new things to Street Fighter 2.
Are you sure they're the only two new ones?
They're the only two that we've heard about, and I doubt they're going to go back and do anything that would require absolutely new sprites to be made.
Yeah.
All they've really done is kind of edit some of the ones that were in the original CPS2 releases and the ones that Udon made for HD Remix.
Mm.
And you can play it with either visual style, which is nice. Yep. Evil Ryu is a lot more Alpha 2 than you would expect him to be in a Street Fighter 2 installment.
Mm.
Most importantly, he has that toward medium kick, the hop,
that
has been confirmed as an overhead in this game. And it's a sort of short range overhead that goes over lows, which that's not a thing in Street Fighter 2. So that'll add something to the meta there, and really probably provide us with one of the most offensive oriented characters in the entire game. Violent Ken was put in with absolute respect for SNK's concept of him back in SVC Chaos. He has the weird jump arc. He has the command dash, which is also something very new to Street Fighter 2. It's sort of a teleport light because he can go behind opponents with it. It doesn't have strike invincibility, but it is projectile invincible, so that'll be interesting to say the least. Both characters really seem like they're the cure to some of the turtling styles that you see at times in Street Fighter 2 and Super Turbo in particular. So I'm really interested in seeing how this game pans out. And Justin Wong went hands-on with it, had some good insights about it. A few other people who have played it have said that there have been tweaks made to other characters. This is not just another Super Turbo port. This is a proper next installment. So you're not going to be able to choose versions of characters or anything. There is no version select or whatever. The versions of the characters that you're going to be playing here are Ultra Street Fighter 2 versions. And to think this is just kicking off the 30th anniversary, I kind of wonder if we're going to see other classics get legitimately revisited. I mean, I could think of ways, easy ways, that you could take Alpha 2, Alpha 3, Third Strike, revisit them, do some fine-tuning, and genuinely leave them better than they were. And it wouldn't take a lot. In fact, Third Strike would probably just require a couple of hitbox tweaks and super meter tweaks.
See, if this is how they're starting 30th anniversary, well, it seems like a pretty good start to do an entirely new version of Street Fighter 2.
I love it.
the first new version in about 10 years?
Nine. It's been 9 years since HD Remix, so I'm looking forward to it. I think. I should also point out, Justin Wong was unable to get Capcom to confirm or deny that it's a Switch exclusive. So I look forward to playing this on the PS4.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I was gonna say I highly doubt that this is exclusive to the Switch. It may be just a time thing, but
yeah, it's probably timed exclusive.
Like, especially if Capcom, you know, Capcom is a company that's shown a lot of interest in the tournament scene lately, and I can tell you, as someone who is involved in the tournament scene, no tournament organizer wants to buy Switches.
No.
On top of the other systems that we have to maintain just to get even in fact, patching.
It's like very hard to consolidate everything onto the PS4.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So.
So, yeah.
Did you guys see the... If they could somehow bribe anyone involved to get Killer Instinct on there, they would.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the first-person teaser in that trailer?
Yeah,
it was
I'm
like
not
a
really
weird, like, split-second thing.
Yeah.
Looks like a
way,
game.
Ono was kind of teasing some more things to be announced up until its release.
Yeah.
As far as, like, modes.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of, like, motion-controlled mode.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not anything I would do, so I didn't read anything into it.
There, but yeah, that was one game that came out of that announcement, so we might as well go into the big details of the Switch.
Main event.
Yeah, main event. So let's get the price out of the way. $299, launching on March 3rd.
Ha! Oh, Jesus.
Well, personally, for a Nintendo console, its price is not that bad. But it's, like, the same price as a Wii U right now, basically.
Yep. It's also the same price as a PS4 or an Xbox One with a pack-in game. And obviously the portability adds something to it, but Nintendo has been caught in this cycle where they're always coming out 2 to 3 years later, and they come out with substantially weaker hardware. Like, so before we get into anything else, I just want to say, because I'm probably going to be overly negative about this thing. I would desperately want this thing to be successful because, like, do you remember the thing that I was telling you guys earlier in the show about how I play games now?
Yeah.
Like, the Switch would be perfect if I could play anything on it besides Nintendo games. And everything from that launch has indicated that I will not be able to. And on top of that, the entry point with the hidden costs of the system are astronomical. It's worse than the Vita. And I cannot see that, not in 2017, not when people have iPads, not when people have consoles, because no one has been sitting on the sidelines this generation and has gone, I'm going to wait to see what Nintendo does. Everyone has bought something. So Nintendo has relegated themselves to the secondary console.
Yeah.
And when there are so many different options out there to play the same style of games, most people have a console that'll take care of that. So that in and of itself seems like it would be a pro for the Switch, but it really feels to me like it's a negative simply because how many machines have we bought over the last 10 or 15 years that only ended up being Nintendo machines? And when you really start to look at whether or not that is a value, I think it's really questionable. And that's why I have a problem with the price point. If it was at 200, because you got it, you know, your games are going to be $60. You're going to have to buy a memory card because if you actually are interested in doing anything digitally, the 32 gigs on board is fucking hilarious. And I think the core concept of why the price bothers me so much is because the last time I was on this show and when we talked about like the idea that this would be a hybrid console, one of the things that we talked about is that this is a fantastic move for Nintendo. And it still is, because the biggest complaint that anybody has about a Nintendo system, because Nintendo has always maintained two systems for the longest, has been how long it takes for games to come out. And even when those games come out, it started to sort of turn into all of this stuff is very similar. And you can look at the last 3 years of the Wii U and the last 3 years of the 3DS to sort of see that. You've got two Mario Karts that are insanely similar. You have the new Super Mario Brothers series on both of them that are pretty much upgraded, downgraded versions of the same thing. You have 3D Land and 3D World.
Smash.
Smash. You know, there is the Hyrule Warriors stuff. I mean, there is a Wii U version of the game, and there is a 3DS version of the game. So putting them together so that hopefully Nintendo can have a higher output, like putting those development houses together and putting everything under the same system is a fantastic idea. But the thing is, especially when we look at the price of the Switch, it ends up only being a plus for Nintendo. It ends up being a sort of a con for everybody else, because now when you look at the Switch, when you look at the price, when you look at the hidden costs, basically Nintendo has taken all of the weaknesses of the Wii U and they've added more to it. Because how do you sell this thing? And if you look at their press conference, they don't know how to sell it either. Like, one of the things that I saw Pat mentioning was, is like, and I've watched Pat talk a lot over the years about how hyped he gets about system launches. And he said at the end of it, they didn't give me a reason to buy one. And if they're not giving Pat Mifflin a reason to buy one, they fucked up. And when you, and that goes back to the whole pros and the cons of it, is that, so if we're selling this thing as a portable machine, it's way too expensive. Right. And I would argue that if you're selling it as a whole, as a home console in 2017, when your competitors have a mature set of products and a vast game library, it's still too expensive. So that's
they did
a hit
come
on.
In, I think $50 too high on the system itself.
I think if they did 200 or 250, a lot of people would change that tune. But when you get into the price of the system being 300, the games being 60, having to buy a memory card, possibly having to buy another controller, and then paying online, you're at over $500 out the door for a system that, even though it is portable, has shit battery life, and on top of that, is not nearly as powerful as its competitors. And so the question then becomes, at that price point, is $300 worth it for you for lackluster portability? And for me, it's not. For me, like, my son is super excited about it. I'm not buying him a $300 portable. Fuck that. Like, and so that comes back to it. So if I was going to buy him one and I was going to get one, I'm looking at $800.
Yeah.
That's like my mortgage. Like, and so when I, that, and so I feel like that's the biggest thing that Nintendo screwed up. And they have a similar style launch of, all right, well, Mario's going to come out sometime in the summer. And this other stuff, we don't know when it's going to come out. We're not going to give you a pack in. They want to charge $50 or $60 for that 1-2 Switch, which should absolutely be a pack in game.
Yeah,
it should be
that,
more than $20.
Mm-hmm.
Making they it have, not a pack in made it irrelevant as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And
they
or,
gave us
or,
Nintendo Land. They gave us Wii Sports.
Exactly.
That, you know, it's the tech demo game. It's not worth $60.
Yeah, we should not have to buy a game that you're trying to use to sell the technology you're already overcharging us for.
Yeah.
So, and so that's the big thing. Like I said, for the rest of this conversation, I'll probably come off as excessively negative. So I wanted to lay the groundwork for where I'm looking at. That price is way too high for what we're getting. And for and it's not because I don't think Nintendo's trying or anything else like that. I feel like this is an extension of this company not knowing what they need to do or how to act, and sort of showing the same patterns that they have done for the last 10 years that have done nothing but made them, with the exception of the Wii, made every single console they've put out. I'll be even more hyperbolic. I will say, since the Nintendo 64, as much as I love that system, the Nintendo 64 was the turning point for Nintendo, where they were like, we're going to do this shit the way we want to. And with every generation, with the exception of the Wii, it has cost them customers.
Yeah.
And like I said, when you go into this system, it inherits all of the problems that the Wii U had, and it doesn't get anything. It gets no pros for it. It gets even worse problems, because if you're selling to a portable person, now portable games are normally $30 to $40. You're selling this in a tablet world where people are used to 99-cent to $10 games, and you're going to charge $60 for a portable game? And then you go back to the same idea. So is it a console? Is it a portable? There are so many problems here, and Nintendo did nothing in that press conference to alleviate any of those problems. They don't know how to sell this thing. The messaging in it is completely confused.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, I would
I'll
say
stop
that
talking.
There is one Wii U problem that it didn't inherit. It's not called actually, a fucking Wii.
Yeah,
that's true. But it
you
has a
have
whole
a whole
shit ton of Wii technology
out there that know that think they already have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the portability aspect of this system has been greatly exaggerated from all the leaks, because it's not actually portable. It's as portable as a tablet, which is you're not taking it out of your house unless you're on a commute, or you're riding with somebody on a trip, or you're going on a plane or something like that. It's not something you're going to stick in your pocket like a 3DS or your phone. And that's sort of the big problem for me. As I look at it, and it's pretty much the same size as your Wii U gamepad.
It's thick.
It's thinner, but you're not sticking that in a pocket, not taking it out for you on just random trips or just with you every day.
And that
That's
was
sort
where
of
my argument came along, that they've got to have something to fill that void.
the. And along with that, there's no portable games. There's nothing here that evokes the spirit of what you got on the 3DS. Everything here is pretty much is just stuff that you would expect to be on a Wii U. And that's sort of the other problem that I'm having with it is I don't see things on the level of Box Boy or Picross or Pushmo or any of these smaller projects that Nintendo does really well on. We just see these big ones and your third parties that are, most of them are ports. That's sort of the problem there is like Ubisoft is always in on console launches with some new stuff and some old stuff, and it's all old stuff from them. That sort of shows a problem with just how much they announced, because I imagine there's much more coming, much more to be announced at later shows this year, but we should have gotten that, hey, we're Nintendo, we're bringing Zelda, we're bringing Mario, we're bringing Mario Kart, we're bringing Splatoon, we're bringing Kirby, we're bringing Animal Crossing, we're bringing
Metroid, F-Zero,
Metroid
Star Fox.
or any of these other franchises, we're going to be here in full force. Instead, it's like, here's like a handful of our things. We'll bring the rest of our force later on.
Another thing we don't yet know is how the gameplay experience actually degrades when you're not docked. Because I think it does, it probably will.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things. So looking at this from the hardware standpoint, and this is sort of like where we're talking about sort of Nintendo finding new problems. One of the things that bugs me about this is I've looked at the specs for the system and the size of the battery and everything else like that. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that this is absolutely in any way that you could probably frame it, really kind of a technological marvel. Like, Nintendo is going to stick in the biggest battery that they can in there, but you still have to have the logic board, you have to have the place for, you know, your SD cards and everything to go, and the thing has a fan. Like, one of the things when you're looking at tablets or phones or anything else like that that are using some more advanced chips is everything is passively cooled. And this is even the 3DSs are passively cooled. The 2DS was passively cooled. The Game Boy, etc. This is the first system that they've had that's required a fan.
No,
And
first
because
portable at
of
least.
first portable, yeah, or well, yeah, exactly, right? So going back to the messaging thing. So from this is definitely the first portable for them that has required a fan. And that fan needing to be there is one of the reasons the battery life is going to be terrible. And it's going to go back to degrading the quality of the experience that you can have while it's portable. Because I'm sure you guys remember with the PSP. A lot of times the PSP would get downclocked depending on the game that it would use. Very few PSP games actually used the full CPU because of heat. And so Nintendo seems to have thought like, well, okay, well, we'll deal with that by having, you know, a fan in here, but that fan takes up power, that fan takes up space, you know, and so it just goes back to this ends up being a much more lackluster portable than the things that have come before it. And frankly, a lot of the tech that's in there, you could find in a shitty $100 Android tablet, which makes me believe a lot of the money that they put into this went into the stuff for the Joy-Cons. And if you've actually seen like hands-on impressions, the Joy-Cons are tiny. And it makes me wonder, like, all right, so you guys have seen Batman versus Superman, right? Or at least heard about it. The major problem with that movie is because it tried 35 different things instead of one or two core concepts that could have made it an interesting movie. And everything that was wrong with that movie spun out of that. I see a similar problem here because Nintendo obviously wanted to do some crazy, gimmicky, whatever shit with the system, with the Joy-Cons, and probably put a lot of money into that. And that doesn't seem like the right move. Like, people, I think, have shown that they weren't interested in revisiting the Wii. This is not 2007. And all I saw, with the exception of a few titles that looked like souped-up Wii U games, was this is Wii U shit. I don't want to – or this is Wii shit. I don't want to milk a fucking cow. I don't want to play a boxing game. I don't want to do any of that. Give me these portable experiences that are console-like, and do it in a way that you can do it as Nintendo. Make that your core feature, and then design the system around that. And I think we would have ended up with something a lot better and probably a lot cheaper. But it was almost like Nintendo couldn't help themselves. They were like, let's do HD Rumble. So it's like, you know, ice cubes clicking around in a glass. That takes up battery power. Like, where... All of this has a fixed cost some way. Exactly. It has a fixed cost in some way, whether it's how much.
A dollar.
Exactly. So the tech ends up being super expensive, so you have to recoup the R&D costs. Like, Nintendo doesn't seem to understand that they are in a position where they are always, at least for the conceivable future, they're always going to be the secondary console. And they have given no argument for why they should be the main console. And I find the whole idea where people are like, oh, well, you know, Nintendo can't compete with Sony and Microsoft because if they did, then you just have three consoles, blah, blah, blah. I find that argument disingenuous to a certain extent because no other developer slash company is in the position that Nintendo is. No other developer slash company has the IP stable that Nintendo does. And they just keep finding ways to fuck that up. When you look at the online portion, they're going to give you a 30-year-old game for a month, and then they're going to take it away.
Yeah.
I'm already paying for Xbox Live and for PlayStation Plus, and because I've been playing on the PC, I've started to really think about which one of these can I get rid of. And it's most likely going to be PlayStation because my kid mainly plays on the Xbox and he does stuff online with Minecraft. Like, I'm already looking for ways not to pay, you know, the $60 or whatever the price is. Now, I always get them when they're on sale, so I know they retail for $60. I usually get them at $40. But even still, that's $40 saved for me. So where – that brings me to my next complaint, which is where's the value proposition in any of this? If these are portable games, you're charging more for them. You're going to charge us for online and offer us less than what your competitors are doing. And I have to believe that a big reason they're not going to charge for online out the gate is because they're not sure what they're going to price it at yet. I think they probably want to price it at $60. But again, let's go back to this concept we were talking about a few minutes ago. Are you going to play Call of Duty or Overwatch or anything on this thing?
No, because they're not coming out.
Let's say if they were, like, just to make things even though.
Honestly, I don't trust Nintendo online services. I just don't.
That's one thing. The other thing is that you're also paying for this kind of service on another console you're probably already playing that game on.
Exactly. Yep.
So why would you pay for online in the first place? Unless Nintendo, like you're talking about Splatoon or something like that, like is playing that one game and getting, you know, one 30-year-old game rental a month worth probably what they're asking for. This is totally a case of too many. There's no room at the table, like Pat said during his Twitter fest about this. If I'm paying Xbox Live, if I'm paying PlayStation Plus, I'm paying for my internet, I'm doing all of these things, and I'm playing these games there, you've got to come up with an obscene value for me to buy into your ecosystem and want to give you $50 or $60 a year. And giving me games that I've probably bought five fucking times for a month is not – there's no value in that. And then – I think it's also telling that they didn't really, unless I missed this part, so correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't at all get into an account system. I truly believe, based on what I saw and what I've read, they're not going to have an account system like Steam, like PSN, like Xbox Live. They are going to expect you to keep rebuying the same shit, which then goes back to, what the fuck are you doing?
They've touched on it.
Yeah, Reggie kind of touched on that with Wired. They said they're aware of it.
What does that say to you?
It's like I said, I don't trust Nintendo for online services.
Yeah.
It's just...
I think if they could get... Because that's... Here's the quote. Yeah, tell me what it is.
What what I would say first is we recognize that some of our most passionate fans have spent quite a bit, whether it's with Virtual Console on Wii or Wii U, and we recognize that consumers are rightly concerned about moving to Nintendo Switch without backward compatibility. My comment is stay tuned, we understand the concern, more information to come. There's 40-some-odd days between now and launch, there's more details to come, and at that point we'll be able to define all of those various details of that online experience.
You know, I gotta say, out of everyone out there, I think with the exception of Jack Trenton, I don't think anyone can sell bullshit the way that Reggie can. Because I'll never forget, that strikes me as a Trenton thing. Remember where Trenton was like, if you can find a fucking PlayStation 3 on the shelves right now, it'd be $1,200. Well, here's a fucking stack, motherfucker. Like, this is the same kind of thing. Like, we know, anyone that's looked at anything historically for Nintendo knows that Japan pulls the strings. And Japan, despite making good games, does not seem to fucking understand the market that they exist in. So I can give a little bit of leeway there. And I can give a little leeway to Reggie, because I would hate to be the guy that has to keep selling this shit when he lives here. He knows what people are expecting. Yeah. But at the same time, like, and I'm glad that came from Wired, because Chris Kohler is a guy that loves Nintendo, but he has constantly basically been like, Nintendo, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. I think they don't have their online set up. And I think if they are given the opportunity, I think they are definitely going to want to keep the status quo as it's been. And that's good for no one but Nintendo. And that's sort of the whole problem with this system in the first place, is that Nintendo wants everyone to buy into this because it's only good for Nintendo. And I don't think it's a good console in a lot of ways for a lot of people.
There's something else I would add to that as well. Yeah. And you said that it has to be frustrating for Reggie because he's over here. He understands this mentality. There's a criticism that you can make now that you couldn't make before. What's Kimishima's excuse?
Well,
that's true, because
he's a product of Nintendo of America.
Exactly. Yeah. He's been here through all of it. And so I wonder if maybe that's also part of, you know, maybe this is the train that they started, and, you know, Kishima is like, well, fuck, now we have to see it through.
Yeah, well, you know, part of it, I think, is cultural, because over there, well, let's face it, Nintendo is run by a bunch of old Japanese guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't really surprise me that they would really not be paying any attention to what's going on outside their boardroom.
Just yeah, it's like where we have a guy who doesn't have any idea how to use the internet who's going to be the head of cybersecurity for the United States. Like,
yeah,
because
that makes
same kind
total
of
sense.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, sort of the problem I've seen with this whole rollout of information is that they're not going deep on really anything.
No,
they're just going skin deep on most everything, and then but this thing's out in, as he says, 40 some days.
Yeah, well,
that's
how
we should be knowing what's going on.
Have a 40 some odd day turnaround between your true unveiling of your system and your launch.
Yeah,
no,
you're
good
asking
goddamn
people to
reason
put
they
down.
Shouldn't have been E3.
Yeah,
they're asking people to put down money to lock in a pre-order now, but wait for more information.
Yeah,
for the next couple months.
Yeah,
that's what people say when they try and sell you shitty DLC. It'll be good, we promise. Just give us $50 right now.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, like, because I've been on forums, like, reading about this stuff, and the thing that pisses me off the most, I've seen a bunch of people throw this around, is that people who feel like the way that I do are talking about the points that all of us are discussing right now, I've seen people labeled as entitled. And I'll never forget this. Ever since a bunch of us, you know, Pat, and Phil and Jordan and all those guys, ever since we met over at GameStop or GameSpot, there has always been a group of people that has treated Nintendo as a sacred cow and just that they could do no wrong. And those people have never disappeared. And I think it's sort of multiplied now in the industry because of like what we talked about earlier with closures and everything else like that, where people, they want something that they love to survive. And I think that they do it in a lot of ways, like they look at it in ways that are not good for them as a consumer or what their best interests are. And it's really bothersome to me that we're even having this discussion, because honestly, out of all of the companies out there, the one that I would think wouldn't really fuck me is Nintendo. Because like when you talk about warranty stuff or anything else like that, Nintendo supports their products. Nintendo's products, for the most part, are also built very well. I'm looking at my son's 3DS, which is on my desk right now, and this thing looks like it got put through a fucking wood chipper, and it still works. And like, so there are definitely qualities for Nintendo for the way that that company operates that are absolutely worthwhile. But it just comes back to the same thing for me as a consumer of like, why should I give you my money? And it's felt like over the years, Nintendo has given me less and less of a reason. And I think they have certainly been out of touch when it comes to price point. You know, Nintendo used to be the company that would sell you good hardware that lasted and would sell it to you pretty cheap. They didn't really start on this trend until the 3DS. You remember when they launched that for $249? And then 6 months later, they were apologizing to everyone. I guarantee you we're going to be looking at the same thing for a Switch unless – just like the Wii U, they can't lower the price. Kojima has no excuse, and I just have to wonder what the fuck they're doing. I read an interview with Reg where he was like, well, we were aiming for $299, and it was, so why were you aiming for that, Reggie? Like, why would you think that is, especially considering who you're competing against? And now you're competing against your own history if you're looking at it as a portable.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, they aren't looking at it as a portable, or else they wouldn't be aiming at $299.
Nintendo doesn't seem to actually know how, like Lee mentioned, they don't seem to know how to sell this system. But more worryingly, they don't seem to know who they're trying to sell it to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest problem. If we're looking at the overall packages, I don't think they realize that they are... as long as they are in this release cycle, they are always going to be the secondary console. Yeah. And then to Phil's point, I don't know who they're selling it to either. Like when you look at it, Nintendo used to be, especially, and I say this as a parent, you could buy a cheaper piece of equipment for a kid, and you knew that the games that they would get for the most part, if they were made by Nintendo, were quality. And you know what? Black Friday has shown that there is a market for this. That $99 3DS sold out fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And people were all about that because it wasn't still – because, I mean, the 3DS is still, even when it goes on sale, like $175. Hmm. So putting this thing out at $100, which, by the way, remember the Game Boy came out at that? Remember the fucking – the Game Boy Advance was $149. Remember the GBA SP was $99. Like, there are markets for this.
Yeah.
And Nintendo can sell to those specific. I can tell you as a parent that as a portable, the Switch is not getting bought for my kid in my house. It's not going to happen. If we keep it at home, we'll just have one of them. But, like, we have two 3DSs. Fuck, we have, like, five 3DSs in my house. And it's because – like, he wanted to play Animal Crossing with me and his mom. We have Triforce Heroes. We had Mario Kart stuff. And I've been able to pick these things up pretty cheap over the years. That's gone with this. Like, they're eliminating sort of – with this console, they're eliminating that cheap portable option for a lot of parents and for a lot of young people. And diving straight into this market that people have said they can't compete with Microsoft and Sony on, and they're doing it at the same price point. Yeah. And it goes back to the same thing. Like, it feels like they're taking all the Wii U problems, getting rid of the pluses of the 3DS, with the exception of, like, the screen being absolute shit, and making it more expensive. And who are you selling that to?
Apparently people with a lot of disposable income.
I really wish Dan Reb was here, because I'd love to argue with him.
I still think there's going to be another dedicated portable coming from Nintendo.
I would not have believed that before, but I would not be surprised if when this thing comes out, because here's what's going to happen. When this thing initially comes out, it's going to sell out. And then people are going to fucking jump for joy, and they're going to be like, this is fucking amazing, all these fucking haters, blah, 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 blah.
And Zelda's going to help their case.
And exactly, and Zelda's going to help. But what's going to happen is in 6, 8, 9 months, a year, then they're going to go, okay, what did we buy this for?
Exactly.
And that's when the problem is going to happen. And I think if they see a huge downturn in sales, I would not be surprised if you see the Switchblade or some shit coming out that's like a 5-inch screen and doesn't have all the Joy-Con bullshit and is a true portable. Because Nintendo has shown that they will, for the most part, pivot and go a different way as far as like the market they're trying to hit if they fail totally. But I think they're expecting this to be a DS situation, and it's going to be more like a Virtual Boy situation.
All right. Now we got to talk about the part that really matters.
Yeah, we should probably talk about the games, because we have a few confirmed ones. The big one, of course, of the launch is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
It was beautiful.
And they saved it, of course, to the end of the presentation to confirm that. I think they also, over the past few months, with the rumors of its delay, kind of trolled us.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the leaks did not come true for whatever reason.
Yeah.
At least for this event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild confirmed for March 3rd. Also confirmed is Super Bomberman R, which...
Yes.
It's Bomberman, and it looks awesome, and yes.
Pretty much the first real Bomberman game we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And basically Nintendo themselves basically had to go to Konami and...
commission it.
Yep. Yeah.
With their own
I was going to say prostrate themselves, but...
Yeah. Well, Konami's...
That may or may not have been involved.
Yeah.
Never know. So. I mean, somebody had to put in the money so that whoever it is, Konami, whoever's daughter has been sold to us, to a, you know, a Soapland thing by the Yakuza.
So, yeah. Palms were greased.
That escalated money quickly.
Did change hands. Moving on.
Well, it's been the ongoing joke, you know? Why is Konami...
It's true.
You know, why does it seem like they're trying to burn everybody? It's probably because they're in debt to the Yakuza.
Yeah.
So I
mean, I know it's known that they're active in gambling and stuff, so the Yakuza is definitely involved somewhere.
I'm looking forward to Super Bomberman R. Just looking at what they showed brings back memories of 10-player Saturn Bomberman nights. Yeah. So. And just crazy online games with that. So this is one that people should really be paying attention to, because I think it's more of an important part of the Switch lineup than anyone's giving it credit for being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it emphasizes the local multiplayer aspect of the system.
Yeah.
Yep.
More than most of this stuff.
Yeah.
It gets up to 8-player local, which is amazing, and almost up there to Saturn Bomberman levels. So.
8-player local, so you can pair 8 of these Joy-Cons to one system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can have 8 systems connected for local multiplayer.
Yep.
Not that ever going to happen.
No, that's never going to happen.
Outside of, like, PAX and E3.
Yeah.
Have you seen how the syncing is done?
No.
You essentially you take your controller over to your friend's house, slide the controller around their screen, and it says synced. Then you pull it back off. That's it.
You see,
that actually makes a ton of sense.
That's the kind of, you know, a little attention to detail that Nintendo is good at.
Yeah,
that's very Nintendo, you know, right there.
They'll sit here trying to push the button on your controller, trying to figure out where it is on the console, and hoping that you have enough battery power so it doesn't die immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the most Nintendo thing so far to come out of this.
So, past that, we've also got 1-2 Switch. That's confirmed. We talked a little bit about it. It's kind of a mini-game.
Yeah, $50, it should be a pack-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything about that screams, this is a good sale for the Wiimote aspect of what those Joy-Cons can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, considering you basically put it with Wii Sports and Nintendo Land, and you more or less have a series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The training videos they have for all these modes are amazing.
Well, the worst part about it not being a pack-in is that this could be the thing that sells gamers on why they spent all this fucking money on the crazy shit in the controller and why it's worth the $299. So making someone pay $50 for it is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
this
should be their loss leader. This should be the game that everybody gets. But
They're essentially doing what Nintendo of Japan did to Wii Sports, which is made everybody pay for the thing that proves what's cool about that system.
Yeah, and I would argue that the Wii would not have been remotely as successful as it was if they didn't pack in Wii Sports here in America.
No, it would not.
It would have sold 15 million, and that would have been it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it came with it and the fact that you could look at it and go, okay, this makes perfect sense. I hold this and I punch the screen.
Yeah.
Like,
it got the point across.
Exactly, in a very simple way. And this game could do the same thing, except Nintendo, again, I guess, let's just call it what it is. The Switch should have a fucking dollar sign in it. Like, this is Nintendo being greedy or trying to make up something somewhere. And that's why they're selling it instead of giving it away as a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that one. Activision's also bringing Skylanders Imaginators, a game that completely...
Because of course they are.
Of course they are, but that's also a game that completely negates any portable advantage that the system would have had.
Yeah.
So...
But somehow that series is still going and still making tons of money.
Yeah.
And speaking of games that... get rid of any portable advantage.
Just as 2017. This is not a game that I would have thought should be on the Switch, but okay.
I do not want to be on the bus when somebody is playing this.
It would make for some excellent YouTube videos, though, I would say.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
World Star!
Yeah. So yeah.
Did you guys talk about Skylanders?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You see what the interesting thing with that is? There's no portal power.
No,
it's all in the game.
Controller. Yeah.
So it's either they're going to, I guess, use the codes that come with the figures for the first time I've ever seen that in any of these games, or they're going to just let you play with the figures in game, no paying.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, part which of is sort of what Disney Infinity did on Steam after they canceled all that.
Yeah. Also, the Joy-Cons have NFC readers, so the portal power really isn't necessary when you got that on the controller.
So, yeah, but those are typically Amiibo.
Yeah, it's
compatible, not necessarily what Activision's proprietary thing is.
Yeah, yep. They're still NFC. It could be all changed with software.
Maybe.
Because I've seen Skylanders hacks. So.
Yeah, there's nothing proprietary going on there.
No, nothing with NFC. But anyway. So those are the ones that are confirmed.
I think that's actually the whole of the launch lineup.
That's confirmed, yes.
So far. Which
yeah.
is crazy. You should be coming out of this event with... Here's everything you can get on day one.
Yeah,
it's all as it stands here. We're, it almost feels like N64 version 2.
Yeah, and that doesn't bode well. Granted, okay, you've got Zelda on there. That's enough to sell.
Yeah.
To sell the system.
Yeah, that's gonna carry them on launch day.
Yeah,
no question. But... Super Bomberman R will probably sell less than it deserves.
Yeah.
1-2 Switch will probably sell more than it deserves.
Yeah.
And then you've just got the ports, because there's no way these two games are just going to be exclusive, so whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the issue they run into, is that people bought these games elsewhere or are going to.
Yeah.
It's basically the N64 launch.
Basically, so far anyway. So post-launch, we've got Snipper Clips coming out in March. Will probably make launch, just hasn't been confirmed yet.
Yeah, that game is interesting because it's actually an indie game made out of a game jam that Nintendo signed.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, so there's that one coming.
It's also very suggestive.
Yeah.
Because the little papers that you're controlling make weird faces. There are, if you watch the Treehouse stream, one of them is sort of trying to dig out like a little kind of cup out of the other one. Mm-hmm. And it's making very suggestive faces, like
it's good night, kids. On it or something
Yeah. So there's that. April 28th, we got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Which comes with a proper battle mode.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to bitch about this for a second.
Go ahead.
This is another example of like, you already sold me this game.
Yeah.
And you should have had the proper battle mode in there the first time, you dicks.
Yeah.
So like you can't now you want me to pay $60 again to pay for your fuck up?
My question is, what's the situation with the DLC?
Yeah, well it's just
Mario Kart 8 was frankly great for DLC. It was well handled,
yes.
It was good DLC.
Yeah,
I
it didn't feel
I
like
have
it was
no desire to buy it again.
Well, Deluxe version comes with all the previous DLC.
Okay.
So
that's
a couple
good.
New characters. The Splatoon kids are in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like Dry Bones and King Boo, and they really need to go more on the non-Mario stuff than put more obscure Mario stuff in there.
It needs to become Nintendo Kart.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It really should have.
We don't need every color of Shy Guy and Yoshi in there.
No.
As like separate characters.
Yeah.
No, but it would be cool to have like Fox McCloud in there, or have the F-Zero guys. Like,
have the track in there.
Yeah, we've already got Link.
Link on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Fucking dork.
So next up, we got ARMS coming out in the spring.
Which actually kind of looks interesting. You don't have to use the motion controls for that as
okay,
well.
Okay, I got to dig up that Link now.
It's actually something of a fairly interesting fighting game. Sort of third person, but you have the notion of swinging your arms forward to do like a straight punch, or twisting them for like a curved punch. And also, if you throw out both arms, it goes for a grab. So you can bring them in for a couple quick punches. There's also specials, and for each character, there's three types of gloves that have their own specific abilities. It's like the main guy that they showed had a boomerang punch, which is a more extreme curve, as well as, oh, I forget what the third one was, but it was something of a more explosive one. And there's one that somebody has, it's like a spread shot punch. So they throw it a punch and it gets it sort of spread out of three gloves that can get people trying to sidestep the stuff. You also have jump and some other things, but it seems pretty deep and pretty interesting for what it is.
Yeah, and motion controls are optional, so that's kind of cool. So there's that one. Then of course in the summer we got the Splatoon sequel, so
which is really cool looking like it so far.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like that's more like an expansion, like somewhat, just based on what I saw. Like, it doesn't really truly feel like it's a sequel, but I can't really say much about that shit since I play Street Fighter. I would prefer that maybe it was like Super Splatoon, maybe. Like, because I don't really feel like it's a true sequel.
Yeah.
It's also just based on what they've shown so far. As we've seen with most everything, it's just a little bit. They're just on like differences for the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
But without the second screen, you can basically push the X button, I think it is. X or Y, I think.
Yeah.
And just pull up a map for when you need to zip across the map.
I hope that allows for two-player online that you can then also get online with. Like, that was something I would have loved to have played online with my kid without needing two Wii U's, was the original Splatoon.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's something that they address here if, you know, if we do
not
end
sure
up getting
mention
one.
It.
Yeah, because that would be... That was the most frustrating part about the first Splatoon, was like, there's no, I can't see any reason why we couldn't do split screen. And then
they have local, multiplayer up to 8 people. I assume you can probably go.
I don't have 8 people I'm going to let in my house.
And,
you know,
but I wouldn't be surprised if it's sort of a, you could have like a 2-player split screen sort of go online like you can on Xbox. Or
I hope that is the case. That would be tremendous, but otherwise, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, this is Nintendo Online, so, take that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm.
What if the person that you're playing with in the same room says lewd things to you while you're online?
Report them, and nothing will happen.
I don't think there's a mic on any of this stuff.
No, it doesn't seem like it. So, if we got from that, we got Shin Megami Tensei 25th Anniversary Project.
Yeah, which their official working project title for this is Shin Megami Tensei Brand New Title.
Yeah,
that's about which I want them to keep at.
Yeah, I really think they should keep that. Keep it. Don't bitch.
SMT BNT.
Yeah,
that was the most tech demo of them all. Yeah. Just like Unreal Engine. Here's all your favorite Shin Megami Tensei demons.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a whole lot to report on that one. Release to be determined. I think they said it's like just starting development. So
yeah, the notion of an Atlas game on Unreal 4 is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Then we
know what else is crazy? The price of the system. Yeah. Rimshot. Anyway.
Yeah. And next we got Super Mario Odyssey Holiday.
I want it so badly.
I would like that as well, but I mean, Holiday is such a
November probably.
Well, I'll
realization that Mario's not.
It does nothing to inspire confidence in the idea that Nintendo has given up the idea that all of their games are competing with all of their other games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This game,
like, I think there's something to be said for spacing it out, so you give something to these maniacs that blow through a game in 2 weeks. So giving them something that comes out later, in a month or so, I think that's not in and of itself a bad strategy, especially if you have, if the next big title for you guys isn't going to come out until the next January, then yeah, probably spacing that more towards holidays makes sense. But that goes to back to the whole thing of, if you actually had third parties on board and on a, you know, a set of hardware that they could port things to, that wouldn't even be a problem anymore.
For a game like Mario, I want them to do it right.
I feel like Mario's not going to come out during the holidays.
I don't know.
I think they'll shoot for it, and everything hopefully with hopefully with them now having, you know, everybody just, you know, creating something for the same system, hopefully that'll work. But when we look at the delays that happened with Zelda and everything else like that, it would not surprise me at all if this was one of those things that came out either right at Christmas or got pushed into, you know, January, February.
Let's
talk about the fact
there we go. Look at that easily amused jerk.
Now let's talk about the fact that you've got Mario popping up in the middle of Midtown Manhattan.
I don't know how I feel about that in the slightest. Like, it's crazy enough that I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, especially when you look at the guy that's next to him. First of all, let's talk about the name. New Donk City.
Finally found out where Donkey Kong is from.
Yeah. I mean, wow. But, like, the idea of this fat little plumber running next to a guy that looks like he is, like, a reject from a mafia game is comical.
Completely unfazed. Both of them.
Yeah, just neither one of them was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm chilling. Yeah, same here. All right, talk to you later. Like, just completely insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
What will be cool, though, is if you know, this whatever's going on in New Donk City, at least as far, God, that's a horrible name. At least in terms of, like, ideas that you could do with levels, putting it in any sort of cityscape, especially one that's based on New York, brings a tremendous amount of verticality, which could make some really interesting things happen in terms of the level design, and maybe get it back to, you know, some of what we saw with some of more of the crazier stuff with the Mario Galaxy series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one's supposed to be like a, you know, this particular installment is going more towards the 64 Sunshine type. It's more open worldy, which I'm, you know, I think is really hip. I'm completely okay with that.
See, I'm on the other side of that. I'd rather have something in the 3D world lineage.
And that's why Patrick is always wrong.
Yeah. Damn. I like the idea of them trying to make a more cohesive world, even though they're not going anywhere close to, like, Jak and Daxter's sort of true style sandbox.
Yeah.
Where it seems like this will just be a lot of warping around to where you need to go.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about Pimp Bowser? Because we need to talk about Pimp Bowser.
Yeah, Pimp Bowser is the thing.
Where are my bitches at in New Donk City?
Well,
he's getting married.
You know, one of them.
And he's getting married to Peach.
Yeah.
You can't get out of the
Wasn't it way
game
back
like
on the
that,
GameSpot
Bowser?
Forums that we actually had a running joke about a game about the Mario series going through so many spinoffs that we would eventually get Mario Pimp?
Apparently somebody found those.
2017,
here we go. So, yeah, Pimp Bowser in New Donk City. That's where we're at right now.
We pimping in New Donk City, y'all.
Yeah, it's got the vibe of that Simpsons Halloween episode where Homer gets to the real world.
Yeah.
And you see how ridiculous he looks compared to actual humans.
So that's something to look forward to. Also to look forward to this year is... nobody cares. Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Nobody gives a rat's ass about that.
No one gives a shit. Like, oh, look at that. A super long RPG I won't play.
I want it. God, please get me down.
All in on that one.
Yeah. Another, you know, monolith soft.
Behemoth.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
It's great that they're putting something like that out on the system. I mean, the system needs that. Diversify this kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that.
And on that timetable.
Yeah.
There is not a lot of turnaround since Xenoblade Chronicles X.
I just don't want to hear Monado over and over and over and over and over again.
Monado.
Monado. I fucking killed you. Shut
this
up.
This isn't a UK localization.
Yeah. So, yeah, I am guessing that this is probably the first one that falls off the 2017 calendar.
Yeah.
So, let's look at that. Yeah. Next, we got Ultra Street Fighter 2, which we talked about already.
Yep. May or may not be exclusive. Yep.
Evil Ryu and Violent Ken.
Yep.
Whose additions, as I mentioned before, will probably be a lot more meaningful than anyone's letting on right now.
Yep.
Because they really kind of fly in the face of how Street Fighter 2 works.
Fine. Next up, we got Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Hell yeah! Finally,
I'll be getting that one.
Yeah.
PS4.
So yeah, this is out on PS4 and Switch. PS4, due to Ubisoft owning the Tetris license, is not available digitally. There, but on Switch, it's wherever you want to go. I guess $40 retail, $30 digital.
Yeah,
cool.
But this game is the best Tetris game we've had in a while.
Right.
It's really fantastic. Has a nice style to it.
Yeah.
Did you import it?
Yes. It's awesome.
Cool.
So if I want to play it on PS4, I have to import it?
No. It'll be available on disc in the West.
Oh, okay.
Right. Later this spring.
Yep. For $10 under the cost of the Switch version.
All right. I'm done with that. And then what else do we get to see? Oh, Fire Emblem Warriors.
Which pissed off Pat because...
Well, okay, I was live blogging, as everyone knows, during the entire show.
Yeah.
So my eyes were constantly going from the screen to the phone and to the screen and to the phone. So I turned away at the moment that they showed the Tecmo Koei Team Ninja logos, and all I heard was the Fire Emblem theme.
Yeah.
And then... I start freaking out and make the next tweet about it, and then they show the logo, and right after that, those two kanji, Muso. Oh, motherfuckers!
Damn it.
Oh, party foul.
That's not what we want in a Fire Emblem game.
That is not, okay.
Just call it Zero Mission, you assholes. No, not Zero Mission. What Federation was it? What Force. Was it? Other M. We can call it Other
Federation
Emblem.
Force.
Yeah.
Or other
yeah,
F.
I have nothing
we can call
against,
it Other Emblem.
I have nothing against the Dynasty Warriors series and its spinoffs, but if you're going to make one, then for fuck's sake, make sure the mainline series that you're basing it on is already well fed.
Yeah.
We have not had a Fire Emblem game on console since the Wii. Time to fix that first, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen. This is one
it's
of those things.
It's been pretty
well
supported on 3DS.
Yeah. So I'm sure.
Then something like this will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not till.
That being said, of all of Nintendo's franchises that they have, other than Zelda, this actually
makes them
it makes sense.
Not... Yeah.
On that
yeah,
part.
With the strategy aspect and everybody having swords.
Yeah.
So.
Swords and axes and
well, that spears. And plus the enormous amount of characters.
Yeah.
That they can pull from.
Yeah.
Characters you may not remember from every game.
Yeah.
But they got tons of them they can pull from.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of surprised that Konami hasn't figured out that they could use that to cash in on Suikoden.
Yeah. Konami.
There's only so much Omega Force.
Of course, that would probably piss people off even more than I got pissed off about the Fire Emblem at this point.
Yeah. Moving on, we also saw Fast RMX, which is basically a deluxe version of Fast Racing Neo.
Yep.
Which I'm totally okay with.
Get more support.
Yeah, I saw this. Like, what the hell? Is there F-Zero here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they're sure auditioning for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say this as someone who has played a ton of Fast Racing Neo.
Yeah.
They can just let these guys take on all the costs and risk.
Yeah. That one's coming out at some point. No confirmed date on that. And then we saw a Project Octopath Traveler. We don't know what the hell it is.
Is there any details on this?
Nope.
It looks great.
It's a thing that exists.
But I wouldn't be surprised if this is the next Tokyo RPG Factory title.
But if it was, it do you think they wouldn't hype it?
I don't know. Even better if it's not, because then that means they can be working on something concurrently with this development.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, whatever studio they do tap to make this game will have some consequences and some implications for Square Enix's immediate direction.
Yeah, so that's something I'm looking at just the screenshots of this thing right now, and I kind of freaking want this thing.
Yeah, we now know where Yosuke Matsuda is coming down on this, as far as the RPG projects versus experimental stuff goes.
Yeah.
He's putting his money where his mouth is, especially if this is not being made by Tokyo RPG Factory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No word on when it's being released that I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't even know what the actual proper title is, so...
Yeah.
You know.
So that,
it's not even a page on Nintendo's site for it either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it certainly is one of my probably top five, if not top three, games of the show.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if it's the Bravely Default studio.
Could be.
And if that wouldn't be a bad choice.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, it's going to be, it's interesting to see this, here of all places as well from Square Enix. Time will tell if it's an exclusive or not, but good get for Nintendo nonetheless.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And to round out the games, well, we got some ports. We got the confirmation of Skyrim, FIFA.
Now, I just wanted to say the Skyrim thing. I actually think there's two reasons why Skyrim is coming to this. The first, I think, is meant to be sort of proof of they're trying to show how powerful their system is. Because the thing about Skyrim is that even though that game is about, what, like 6 years old now?
It's a seventh generation game.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years old.
Even by modern standards, it's still pretty it's still pretty data intensive.
Yeah, it is.
And I think
one of those games that puts the Switch closer to the 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Point of its. And the second
reason,
life.
Yeah, and the second reason is because this is absolutely a Japan-related thing. Because I don't think people really quite understand just how massive of a deal Skyrim was in Japan when it came out.
Yeah.
Skyrim was literally the first Western game that Famitsu ever gave a perfect score to, ever in its entire history.
Yeah,
it was a very big hit. Basically, all of the developers in Japan immediately took notice. And this is really sort of Nintendo, sort of a coup for Nintendo, because it means they can get this game out to more people in Japan. Because the only other ways you can get it in Japan is either, you know, Xbox or PlayStation. And we know how good the sales of PlayStation are, and we know, you know, even PS4 sales are abysmal right now.
Yeah, there's also the PC versions, which, you know,
yeah. Yeah, so. But, you know, Japanese aren't really intense PC gamers of that high end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
If they do, it's normally, you know, visual novel related stuff.
Yeah. So we got Skyrim, and then we got a confirmation of a port of I Am Setsuna going to the Switch. That's pretty cool.
I want more people to be able to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lego City Undercover, Steep.
Yeah, Steep.
Siberia 3.
Yeah.
Rayman Legends.
Yeah, Ubisoft.
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was just going to be big for them.
Yeah.
So. Minecraft Story Mode. Farming Simulator. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. Disgaea 5 Complete, which is interesting.
Really
to see.
Random.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And NISA back on Nintendo to try again.
Yeah.
Arcade Archives is coming to the Switch from the PS4.
So all of the SNK?
Yeah, basically all
SNK, Konami, bunch of the others that they have on there.
Yeah. Name
rocks. EA showed up, said, hey, we got FIFA. That's all we're going to put on here right now.
Yeah.
It shows you how much their commitment to the Switch is right now.
They're almost treating Nintendo as badly as they treated Sega.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, this isn't FIFA 17 or 18. It's FIFA. Yeah. No number. Yeah.
Well, it will probably be FIFA 18. It doesn't.
Maybe.
Then they do the same thing with Madden on the Wii U 1 year, or the Wii.
Like 3DS was the one that got the
weird one.
No number. That's sort of what happens when you release your console mid-cycle, year cycle. They go, we're not going to put the old one on there because it's too long out after it. And you're not going to put the next one until the fall.
Yeah.
It's just a weird situation that those yearly developers that come out the year end are in a bind.
So, so there's definitely games coming out for it. Apparently not very many of them at actual launch. But yeah, that could prove to be a problem for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might just depend on when these guys can get these games finished for like the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as you know, Lee said at the beginning, as down as we may be on this, none of us want this to succeed more than us.
Even if, we have a very abusive relationship with Nintendo. Let's just
put
that out there.
So, yeah, we've already talked about the online services being...
You want to talk about the weird thing about that?
Yeah, we should probably talk about that thing.
So, let's see. They have a list of all the stuff you get with the service, without... But the weird part is all the social stuff is handled through an app. Mm. Separate app.
Yeah, so you have to tether to your phone to use it.
Do you chat with friends, do voice chat and all that?
Yes.
Invite them to play.
Because that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Just... Let's move on to bitching about the accessory prices.
Yes, let's.
Or did we already do that?
Well, actually, before we do that, just
buttholes, folks.
Yeah, but before we do that, just real quick, we do also have to bring up this is not going to be region locked.
Yeah, that's one good thing.
Oh, region lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like digging through sewage and then finding a sandwich. Like you're still. Like when you're hungry, you know. Like, well, you know, I am. Yeah, I'm covered. You know, head to toe and shit, but there's a PB&J. Like, you don't know.
Okay.
One thing about the online network stuff is that it'll be free until the fall.
Yeah.
So they call it a trial. I think everybody else would call it, you guys aren't ready.
Yeah.
I've seen that with Capcom, where they say, we're going to have this store, and you're going to be able to spend money or your $5, and they said, fuck this. We'll just let you pay actual money for it.
Yeah. So there's that. Then we have the accessory prices, which are
horrid. I don't even think we need to even get that into
just
it.
Flat out,
these are
ridiculous.
Crack prices. Okay, these are crack prices. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the dock being $90. Like,
yeah. Granted,
come on.
Granted, you'll probably never need to buy a dock because you get one.
Yeah, that's for for people that want to put it in some other part of their house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what's funny about it? I'd be one of those people. I would put a dock upstairs on my wife's TV so that if my wife was taking, you know, if Nathan wanted to play on a TV, he could take it upstairs. Like, it's an HDMI dock.
Yeah, it's not that
like
expensive.
That's all it fucking is. The controllers being like $90.
Yeah. $80 for or $50 for a single. The Pro Controller, $70.
Yeah, it seems like they're treating the Joy-Cons like Wii Remotes.
Which is a shame because the Pro Controller is probably one of the best controllers Nintendo's ever produced.
Yeah,
and this just, to me, this is the same thing where we talk about hidden costs being a problem. Like, this stuff is what makes me really look at this thing as, like, the Vita 2. Because if their big thing that they're pushing is, like, shit like Bomberman, you need extra controllers.
Yeah.
So you're, like I said, you're looking at racking up $500-$600 just to be able to play this with friends.
Yeah, it's
like, what the as you can see, I'm having trouble not losing my shit about this. Like, there's no reason for this.
Go ahead and lose your shit. We're that kind of show.
What the fuck? Like, okay. Normally, I would say, like, normally the MSRP of something is never what it's actually sold for.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the MSRP for Xbox One controllers, I want to say they're either 60 or like they're 60 for the normal ones and they're 70 for the special editions. But those are always on sale. The normal ones are always on sale for $40 or $50, and the special ones are usually on sale for like between 50 and 60. Still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you know that the asking price is usually $20 less than what the company is asking for. Mm. But this is Nintendo.
And Nintendo these accessories.
Things will never go on sale.
Oh.
And so that just adds more to the problem of, like, okay, let's say you did make your MSRP $70, $80, but we knew if we went to Best Buy on a good week, we could get it for $50. Eh, but it's Nintendo. This shit will never go on sale. Nope. Never. Nope. And so then, going back to, like, the only favor they did anyone with this system is SD cards are cheap.
Yeah. That's the only.
Yeah, they could have gone the Vita route with the memory cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you could get
I'll tell you why they didn't. It's probably because they strike me as a company that they're using a ton of off the shelf parts with the exception of the chip being tuned a certain way. I don't think they wanted to pay the R&D money to develop an additional type of memory when they've already got the cartridges as proprietary and everything else. Mm. So that's the one good thing they gave us. So once again, that's another peanut butter and jelly in a big pile of shit. So really the two pluses of this are SD cards and no region locking.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I cannot.
So and you're going to want those SD cards too.
Well, you can pick up a 128 gig SD card for about $40. So at least, right. That's not bad.
Yeah.
At that
but
point,
it's just,
you've quintupled your onboard memory.
Yeah. And well, we can only hope that whatever the games are coming out are not the size of anything that's been a game this generation, because we're talking, you know, a lot of these games are 20 to 50 gigs, depending on what you get. So
if you end up with Zelda and Skyrim, you're going to have a bad time right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zelda's been confirmed to be 13 gigs.
Yeah. Zelda takes up half the onboard memory.
So then a memory card becomes necessary, just like it was with the Vita, which is another hidden cost.
Well, that's if you're getting digital.
Yeah,
it's true.
Because the cartridges don't need to install.
Because unlike the other 8th gen platforms, the Switch does play games off the card.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which tells me that the I/O on the cards are actually fast enough to allow that. So they're not SD.
Either that or we're going to get some hella stutter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to take forever to load up Skyrim like it does everywhere else.
Yeah.
I think the best way I can say it, and then, you know, is just that who are they marketing this for? What were they thinking when they came up with all of these prices? Like, nothing about this system and the details that we've been given make any sort of cohesive sense. And like we talked about, this is 40 days away from launching. Like, this shit should be locked down.
Yeah.
And I think that it'll sell out initially because people are excited and there's a new Zelda and all this stuff. But I think that you're going to see a huge slump come the summertime that Splatoon's not going to be able to lift. And I think you'll see a jump probably for the holidays. But I think that this may be
Mario really needed to be the summer game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there need to be some sort of follow through and then, you know, have a true Fire Emblem title and maybe some sort of platformer for the holidays. Have another RPG like what they're talking about with Xenoblade. Like, just the bottom line for me is that I love Nintendo. Like, I would not be in this position. I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I wouldn't have gotten involved in all of the things that I have been involved with in my life if it hadn't been for me being able to play the original Super Mario Brothers at a daycare that I went to when we first moved to Atlanta. Mm. And it pains me every single time they make these stupid-ass moves, because I would love to support them more than any other company out there. But they make it harder and harder and harder and harder with these kinds of decisions that seem completely out of touch with the market that they're in. Mm. And I think out of touch is probably too nice. Like, this is just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way to frame it. This is nuts. The pricing, everything about this is absolutely fucking crazy. And it feels like they're really just hoping to coast on Zelda, and that'll be what they get people in there with, and then they'll be able to move forward. And I don't think that's what's going to happen. And that makes me really sad, because I think a industry where Nintendo has less and less of an influence is not the kind of game industry that I want to see. But they are going, it feels like, out of their way to make themselves irrelevant to anyone else besides their hardcore base. And from this, they are, especially with this price point and everything else like that, they are alienating kids and parents that would buy mm-hmm. this stuff for their kids. And I think that's, again, just the wrong way to go, and it just doesn't feel like this fits in to the way that Nintendo works.
So
I really wonder where they're going to go from here, and I sort of feel like maybe the accessory pricing and the pricing of the system are almost reflective of the fact that they don't know either, and that if this is a miss, they want to make as much money as they can off of it before pivoting to something else.
Yeah,
it feels like they are working against it being successful to me.
Yeah. Another thing is, if you were, a fan of the Street Pass on the 3DS or Miiverse on the Wii U, I don't know who was actually a fan of that, but they're not present.
Certainly not the moderators.
No,
nope.
they're not going to be available on the Switch. I don't know that's a really big deal, but whatever.
I think the only draw of the Miiverse was finding new and creative ways to get banned from it anyway, so that might have been the nail in its coffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that Street Pass is actually pretty popular on the 3DS.
Though it's been kind of dying off of late.
Yeah.
Have been disappearing.
But it paid it played to the 3DS's strength, which is portability. Yeah, like, you're not going to see people shoving the Switch in their pocket to go, like, let me see what kind of Street Passes I can get.
Yeah,
it took my 3DS.
That would be a fluff feature in the Switch.
Yeah,
and the Street Pass was a good way to find out that nobody else around you owns a 3DS.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Great for that.
It's like, oh, I need confirmation about this.
Spot Pass, on the other hand, I think could have some potential. Take your Switch with you to Best Buy or something and download whatever.
Yeah,
all sorts of promotional opportunities there, I think.
Yeah,
and they've at least got the news and notification stuff in the Switch.
Yeah,
but yeah, so all of that, of course, is relevant considering that you probably won't be able to get one anyway. Because
I got one.
Because this is a Nintendo product, and their supply is going to be short anyway.
Reggie talked about that too.
Yeah.
He says that it will be easier to get than the NES Classic Edition.
Well, that's fucking easy to do because there was only like 12 of those released.
Yeah, they have to release 24 of them and then it's easier.
Says that they've allocated 2 million units that will be shipped worldwide for March.
2 million worldwide.
So
that's not enough. That is not enough.
I think you would. Yeah, I think you need 2 million units per region or on launch day.
Yeah.
If they sell
Foxconn
all that,
really let them down.
If they sell all that, that'll be a huge month.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
It's true.
They will sell all that.
They will sell all that.
PS4 and Xbox One were a million each at launch.
Yeah.
Those were the records.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? We bitch all about this, but we all know.
Well, almost everybody.
Nintendo's going to make that money.
Yeah, they're probably going to make it.
Well, I would argue that they're not making that money. I mean, they've sold 13 million Wii U's and they didn't really even do a price cut on it. Like, they hamstring themselves. Like, the 3DS price drop worked because they could still do the price drop and still make some kind of money off of it. That was a prime example of them being of overestimating the market and being greedy. And like I said, when we look at the stuff in here in the Switch, the only thing that you could point to as to being truly expensive is whatever the R&D was for the controllers.
Yeah.
That's the gimmick this generation. That's the 3D, that's the tablet, it's not the portability. It's the price that's driven it up, I truly believe, is whatever it is that they put in the controllers. And I think that was a mistake. You don't need some fancy fucking rumble. That's not going to change the game. Put out great games, give us great fucking battery life, make it so when we stick this bitch on the fucking dock, it looks great, and that you can port things to it that aren't shit from last generation. And they could be successful. They could take that and couple that with Nintendo games, and it would be perfect. But they constantly keep putting themselves in the secondary console space and think that people – I guarantee you nobody's going to be like, yeah, man, I'm going to get that Switch version because of the extra rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. But a selling point would be, wait a minute, I could play this on the road, or I could play this in bed. I could do this. I could do that. I could do blah, 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 blah. That has some value.
Yeah.
Especially for people that have mixed households where someone's got to be on the or someone's going to be on the TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has value. Because you don't need to be attached to the system because the portable itself is the system. Like, that has value. That should have been the focus. Not Wii 2, which this kind of is with the controllers and letting us play games where we can milk cows. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So
what the fuck were
you
thinking?
Don't really. So, no, we don't need that. And then we're at the point where
I should bring the actual Reggie quote on the supply.
Yeah.
Says what we've said publicly is that there will be 2 million units that will be shipped worldwide for the launch, essentially through month one. I know because I read the boards and read the comments that there is concern about supply. From what I've read, the concern seems to stem from the lack of ability to buy NES Classic. So what I would say is this: 2 million for essentially the first month is a huge number, especially when you look and see that this is not peak seasonality. This is essentially the first 3 weeks of March. Our focus is making sure that the consumer who wants to buy a Nintendo Switch can buy a Nintendo Switch. That's how we build our supply chain. That's how we think through the amount of product that's available. What happened with the NES Classic was a situation where the global demand was well in excess of anything we had anticipated, and that created shortages. The good news, at least for consumers in the Americas, is we're going to continue to make the NES Classic available. With the ongoing level of supply, the ongoing demand is going to be met. We know the concern.
But it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you one story, and then I actually need to jump off. I'm going to tell you a story about the NES Classic. I told my wife I wanted one for Christmas. And with the allocations and everything else like that, at one point she was just like she said she was going to get up early one morning and go somewhere. And it turns out she didn't go, thankfully. But it was to camp out for the NES Classic. And when we look at what is available for people to play these games, what Nintendo did is comical. Because my wife even came back and said, I would have loved to have gotten that for you. I know that is what you wanted. But she's like, the way that I thought about it is that you would play it for a while and put it down and never really play it again. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, I read that you can't add anything to it. And of course, hackers have made it so you can add stuff to it. But I have access to all of those games in other ways that don't require an NES box. So it's wonderful that Nintendo is like, okay, well, we underestimated the demand. But the time to make that assessment was in November, not getting this stuff out now so I can finally buy one in July when my desire for one is gone. And that just goes back to, again, the same problem that Nintendo has. Like, you know, anybody that's done any reading about Nintendo knows that they've created their own supply shortages and everything else. And that we saw them do it with the fucking with the Wii Fit. We saw them do it with Amiibos. I mean, they've been doing this since back in the NES.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they use supply shortages to fucking strong arm retailers. Yeah. So. Well, I realize that is a long time ago. Hearing that come out of their mouths is so much of a fact of too little, too late. You know, we all talked about the Amiibo thing. I think it was last year when I said I would have loved to have gotten a bunch of those for my kid. But this idea that I had to chase them was absurd, especially when their functionality in and of itself is limited. Same problem with the NES Classic. Now, if they brought one out that I could constantly do updates to, that'd be a different story. But bringing out this product, making it so no one could get it, making it so the cord is literally 4 inches long, like all of these things. And
there's nobody out there buying a Nintendo NES Classic Edition that wouldn't be better served buying a Raspberry Pi.
Basically, yeah.
Or, yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it might not be the fancy, cute little box.
But you can get that. But you can get that fancy, cute little box for Pi case.
No shit. Yeah.
So
okay, well, so that just goes back to the same thing. Like, I really feel like the Nintendo Classic, the NES Classic, was their big fall game, essentially, and they fucking screwed themselves by not making it available to people.
So,
and I think that goes to also the fact that, you know, they are obsessed with what their IP is worth, and I don't think that they understand why something like that would work anyway. Like, I don't think they understand why the $60 box actually made sense. I think they thought, like, this will be a cute little thing that only the diehards will get, and they don't realize that over here that wave of nostalgia has pretty much hit its crest. But that was the time to be able to sell that. Now in the future,
they were probably looking at some of the similar products that were already on the market and how they were doing.
Yeah, and it's just like, now in the future they do an SNES Mini. I'd probably camp out for that, but you know, there's just, Nintendo's got to figure out some shit. They've done everything wrong.
Yeah.
And I just And I hate saying that, because out of any company that produces hardware in this industry that I want to be successful, it's Nintendo. And it's just, it is so much a series of, you know, two steps forward, three steps back. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It also leaves them with both the Switch and the Wii U at the same price point, which is ridiculous.
Which is comical.
The Switch really isn't. I mean, the Wii U isn't really available anymore.
No, but there's still stuff on.
Much like the 3DS as well.
Yeah. You can still buy it if you really wanted to. They're still there. Supply
has. Yeah, sure. Yet. eBay's all out there.
Yeah, you can still get them on Amazon. So, but yeah, that's where we're at. A quick little thing about the NES Classic. When the hackers that were poking around inside, they actually found a message from the Nintendo engineers that had made it saying, yeah, we know you're going to be in here, but would you mind like keeping things clean? This is how the format works. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That.
That's just so Nintendo. So, yeah, I think we got a show. I think this show is probably going to be called PB&J and Sewage.
Call it the Sewage PB&J.
Yeah, something to that effect. So, yeah, with that, I am Filippo Danolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
See you next week.